So even if you've been practicing for a long time, and but if you've never heard instructions for meditation posture, I'd encourage you to stay for that 11 o'clock instructions. And it's there's many aspects of posture, that refinements and details that can be very helpful. Even for people who are relatively comfortable in their posture, there might be things that you've never learned and might be useful to hear. And so I'll talk about walking meditation. It's an important part of mindfulness practice, especially on retreat, and it's as important and as valuable as sitting meditation. For some people, walking meditation works better in the sense that they're more easily pulled into the present moment with walking. Some people, the sitting works better for that purpose. But even if one of them doesn't seem to work better than the other, it's best not to prioritize one over the other, as if this is the place where it's all going to happen. Going back and forth, alternating between them, creates a nice balance of many different ways, many different things. that brings into balance kind of concentration, effort. It calmness. A lot of things come into kind of healthy balance when you go back and forth. So we encourage it. And for some people, the walking meditation is an acquired taste, meaning that they don't get it, they don't really understand it, or they don't really appreciate it when they start. And I was that way too. But it's well worth acquiring the taste. And it takes a while, sometimes just doing it until somehow it starts clicking or working, or you make it your own and you understand how to, and, you know, that opens up. And one of the benefits of that, side effects of that, is that if people do walking in ordinary life, then they get a sense of how to, you know, have an embodied mindfulness in as they go through their lives. And moments notice as you're walking down the sidewalk or walking down a hallway or something, you can kind of start doing walking meditation. It doesn't have to mean you're going slow. No one has to know. But it's a way of connecting and bringing the practice into the life more fully. So practicing on retreat has that added benefit. To kind of use an analogy of a different activity, if a person who knows how to swim wants to swim across a lake, they have to swim. Seems obvious. If you start swimming and then they notice that there are wonderful kind of fish and shells underneath the water, just stop and spend a few hours, days looking at it, you're not going to get across the lake. If you decide to swim on your back and you love the clouds and you just put your hand behind your head and stop swimming and just look at clouds for a few months, you're not going to get across the lake. If you suddenly get caught up in a serious amount of self-doubt that you're swimming just the right way, there's probably a better way to swim, and you're, even though you're swimming, you're kind of like, you know, a failure to the swimming world. And so you're caught up in your thoughts about, you know, swimming, it must be a better way, and you stop swimming, you don't get across the lake. And if you start congratulating yourself, you know, like think, well, they're going to give me ribbons and awards because I'm like the best swimmer that's ever swam, and you kind of get lost in this fantasy, you don't even notice you stop swimming, you don't get across the lake. In order to get across the lake, you have to just keep swimming. That's what it takes, just swimming and swimming. So if you bring this analogy into this practice we do here, it isn't like we have to walk all the time. You know, like the analogy is, for the practice to work, we have to do the mindfulness. And what's important is the mindfulness that we're cultivating more than the particular activity. And the mindfulness is a very simple, just noticing here and now, this is happening. Oh, so this is what's happening now. This is what's happening now. And as Inez talked about at the beginning of a retreat and often throughout the retreat, just coming back to the simplicity of the breathing is helpful for many different reasons. But the primary reason for mindfulness practice is it's a kind of a regular, ongoing activity that happens kind of continuously that we can just cultivate greater capacity for present moment awareness. We're cultivating it, bringing it into there. And if we want to go this path of practice, it works as long as we have present moment awareness. And so it's like we have to keep swimming, we have to keep being aware. So in the walking meditation, it's the same thing. It doesn't, you're not really, it's best not to try to do too many other things when we're walking. It's just very simple present moment awareness. It's an activity, a moving activity, that we're using as a place to sharpen or develop or enhance this present moment awareness as we walk. And this experience of walking, the embodied physical experience of walking, is as valid a place to develop this present moment awareness as the breathing when we sit or anything that happens. So the way we do it, or the way it's often recommended to do it, is to find a walkway that's about 20 or 30 paces long, and then walk back and forth. Some people will do it other ways than that way, but there's something very simple about going back and forth that can be helpful. And one of the things is pretty quickly you know the route. And so the simple movements of the mind negotiating a changing path, a changing route, doesn't have to operate. And pretty soon you know the sights and sounds that are generally around you, so you're not so easily pulled into sights and sounds which are going to be different, like if you go to a new walk around the woods or something and you see new things. So generally it's kind of good to choose a place where there's not a lot of activity to pull your eyes away to look, see them. And some place where it's really simple to walk back and forth. And the first task I find useful is just to walk with a pace that brings you a sense of ease. And even people who are agitated in various ways will sometimes go for a walk to somehow contain or be with the agitation. And so it's kind of like they're finding some kind of ease with the agitation in the walking, in the pace or something. So some pace that feels right to you. It could be a normal street walking pace. It can be faster. It can be slower. Different things that you can do. The general tendency is to walk slower than the regular street pace. And some people will start walking very, very slow. In the primitive times of Vipassana in America, there used to be competitive walking. And you see people in the walking hall, and they were seeing who could walk the slowest, as if the slowest was the most spiritual or something. And sometimes you couldn't really to look at them for a while to see if they were going to move, because it was, you know, they really got into the slow thing. It's useful to go slow sometimes, but it's not a competition. Or if it is a competition, we all win because we all arrive in the present moment at the same time. Which is nice. It depends. If you like to compete, that's the goal, to arrive in the present moment. And find a pace that works for you nice. And then to use our physical embodied experience as the anchor to the present moment, as the place to cultivate this present moment awareness, is one of the core ways to do the walking meditation practice. And so keep coming back. Just be in your body. Your body has all kinds of shifting sensations as you walk because of the movements and the swinging of the legs and such and so forth. And so just tune into your body, maybe the whole global body as you walk. Tune into your mind a little bit and see if you can be relaxed. And relaxed in the walking, relaxed in your mind, relaxed in your attitude. But to have a diligence at the same time to be present with the experience of walking, so that there's a continuity of mindfulness, so you keep swimming, so you don't get pulled into distractions and other things too much easily, so you're not cultivating, so you're just cultivating distraction rather than awareness. And then as we keep walking, what can work well is to let the attention drop into the lower legs and the feet, and the alternating rhythm of sensations that come into play as you walk it kind of has the same function as the alternating rhythm of breathing as we sit in meditation and with the breathing. There's something about a changing sensation that has a certain rhythm, that's repetitive, that's very simple, that for many people makes it easier for the mind to get settled and concentrated than if it's an unchanging sensation, unchanging object, or if it's a constantly changing one. And so, provided the mind is both diligent, alert, to stay present, come back as often as possible, but also has a feeling of being relaxed. Relaxed with how it's going, relaxed with the mind wandering off, relaxed diligence, to be just here. Unconcerned, really, if your mind wanders off, as Inez said, with the idea that what's really important is the value of beginning again. And the more often, the quicker you begin again, the more benefits you get. Now, don't intentionally go wander off so you can begin again. That kind of doesn't work, but the more often you can begin again. And so you begin again, and the idea is as you lift your foot and put it down and shift your weight, there's a series of different sensations that come into play. If you're walking relatively fast, it's mostly the contact of your soles of your feet against the ground that you feel. And it feels solid. Sometimes it feels really good to feel a solidity if you're walking fast, of boom, boom, boom. Some people have a lot of agitation, a lot of inner emotional turmoil. Sometimes just feeling this groundedness of the soles of the feet firmly against the ground, it can be very, very helpful to kind of stay grounded in the midst of the experience. If you're walking slower, the idea is to bring your attention to the foot that's doing the biggest movement, which is the stepping foot. So as the foot's being lifted, you're aware of the various sensations that come into play. As your foot swings through the air, different sensations. As you put the foot down, different sensations. And just kind of a relaxed way, kind of follow along with the ripple of sensations, the changing sensations that come at play. You don't have to strain to get as many sensations as possible. It's more like the foot's capacity for sensing, to sense and feel sensations. The foot is like a sponge for sensations. And you just kind of keep your awareness open and feel the sensations as they present themselves, and cultivating present moment awareness with the sensations of your feet and your lower legs as they come into play. As you walk, generally it's useful to walk in a natural way. You don't need to walk in any unnatural way. Sometimes you see people who really feel like they need help to walk because their mind wanders a lot, and so they will sometimes jerk their foot up really high, swing it really far, drop it down just really emphatically, like it's not a crime, but generally the kind of idea is to kind of cultivate a natural awareness or a natural way of being, so that we don't relying on purposeful extra kind of technology or tricks to kind of help the mind be present. In the long term, I think that develops a stronger mind than using kind of aids to get concentrated or something. And so we kind of walk, we kind of look more or less looks like a natural thing, unless you end up walking really slow. It doesn't look so natural to walk slow, but you're still not lifting your feet in funny ways. And one retreat recently, someone did all the walking meditation backwards. I don't recommend that either. Just in a natural way, walk back and forth. If you come to the end of your walkway, you can, if you're walking slow, it's nice to stop, turn around, stop, and then start again. Because what happens, people walk and they just spin around and continue to walk, the mind tends to wander off in thought. And you don't notice it, that your mind has wandered off. But if you stop when you come to the end, that stopping, sometimes you have, wait a minute, I'm lost in thought and caught up in thought. And then you can start over again. Might be helpful to use various quiet mental notes, kind of like Inez mentioned for breathing. You can say lifting, or you can say stepping, or lifting, placing as you walk. Just little kind of subtle, quiet whisper in the mind that just encourages the mind. It's kind of like a little coach that says, stay right there. Supportive person. Remember to stay with the feet, right there with the lifting of the foot, the settling. So very soft, kind of like you're gently blowing across, I don't know, across the palm of your hand or something, and just like blowing across your feet with that label, and just stay right there. And it's helpful when you do a walking meditation to do it kind of as long a period in the walking period that you can, meaning don't start walking, then go pee, walk for 10 minutes, then have tea, walk for 5 minutes, then sit down and rest, walk 5 minutes, and then go get a snack, because then you're not building up momentum in the practice, and the continuity is not there. So if you need to do those other things, do it at the beginning or the end, so you have longer stretches you can, just to do the walking, just to do it. And so I hope that you enjoy the walking or acquire that taste over time, and that you appreciate the alternating back and forth. And if you find that you're, maybe if you find like you're ready to practice after a meal, rather than waiting for the first sitting after the meal, one nice option to do is to, before coming in here to sit, to spend a little bit of time doing walking meditation. So there's a little walking period before you come in here to sit. You might find that kind of helps bring a nice balance and continuity. So thank you very much. And so we've gone about 10 minutes over the time that we usually have at this time. So I think that some people are working in the kitchen right now, and I think the kitchen kind of knows that this often happens, is that right? And so you should...
Just to mention that the 11 o'clock people can stay for the 11 o'clock workers can stay for the posture, but would they leave us alone?
That's right. And the people who are working now, they can just... They come and you'll have a shorter period or something. And the people at 11 o'clock, if you work then, if you want to do come for the posture instructions, just leave a note for the kitchen so they know that you're doing that. And then, it's okay not to go today to that 11 o'clock job. Great. Thank you.